This is The Inside Story, a program of biblical teaching that we trust will bring insight into God's Word and application to your life today.
Good morning, friends. Welcome to The Inside Story. We greet you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful Lord He is. And what a pleasure it is to share some of the things that He's teaching us as we go through His Word together. Well, this week I want to come to a subject that is discussed in great detail in Mark chapter 4. The whole chapter really is a primer on faith. And I want to call this series, The Faith That Works. And what I'd like to do is take it with the conclusion first and then come back and see how we get there. If you would look with me in Mark chapter 4, beginning with the last paragraph, verse 35. It says, on that day, the day that has been under discussion in this whole chapter, when evening had come, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go across to the other side," talking about the Sea of Galilee. They're on one side and they're crossing over to the other side. And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. And other boats were with him. And a great storm of wind arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that the boat was already filling. But Jesus was in the stern, asleep on the cushion, and they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care if we perish?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was great calm. And then he said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you no faith?" Have you no faith? That's the question we want to consider. They were filled with awe, and they said to one another, "Who then is this that even wind and sea obey him?" Who then is this that even wind and sea obey him? That's their question. They're still trying to sort out who in the world they're dealing with. What kind of a person is this who can speak to the wind, speak to the sea, and calm the storm? That particular body of water, the Sea of Galilee, is subject to very high-intensity storms that spring up with very little warning. It's a harp-shaped body of water. It's about 13 miles long and about 6 miles across, and it's surrounded by very steep hills, and wind can suddenly come up out of nowhere, and a small boat, such as they would be using, could be very easily capsized and everyone lost. So their fear is not without reason. But I just want to get inside this story for a few minutes today, and then, as I say, back up and see how we get there. I want to notice a couple of things about this episode. The first is that it's Jesus who makes the suggestion, "Let us go across to the other side." It's interesting that the very next sentence says, "They took him with them." They took him with them. But he was the one who said, "Let's go." Now, you may think that it was your idea to invite him into your boat, but let me assure you, it's only because he decided to cross over in the first place. Jesus doesn't go anywhere but where he determines to go. As he waits upon the Father and he finds himself being led of the Spirit, Jesus knows where he's going. Do you know that? Jesus knows where he's going, and if he's gotten into your boat, please don't think it was your idea. You remember he said, "You haven't chosen me, but what? I have chosen you. And I've appointed you that you should bear much fruit. I have chosen you, and I know where I'm going. And I'm happy to go in your boat so long as you're going there." Jesus knows where he's going. Jesus has a purpose. Today, this day, he has a purpose for his life. And he has a purpose for your life. And I hope you'll invite him into your boat, so to speak, into your car, into your office, into whatever it is you're doing this day. But if he comes with you, it's because he knows where he's going. And really, you're going with him. And notice, secondly, an interesting phrase. It says, they took him with them just as he was. We have that old song, that gospel song, "Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. Just as I am, I come, O Lord, to thee, just as I am." But it says here, they took him with them just as he was. Do Do you know that's the only way that he ever goes anywhere? That's the only way that he ever does anything, just as he is. Who is he? He's Lord. He's God. He's boss. He's king. He's in charge. It may not appear that way. You may think you're in control. But let me tell you, if Jesus has stepped into your boat, it's just as he is. It's as himself and nobody else. And sooner or later, he's going to exert that authority. And you may need to go through some fast backpedaling at that point to make sure that you allow him to have his way. Whatever you do, don't think that you're in control. You've got a tiger in your tank, and sooner or later, he's going to claim his territory. They took him with them just as he was. And then I notice another phrase that we almost always skip over entirely because the scripture doesn't make any particular thing of it, but I'm struck by it. It says, and there were other boats with him. What others? I don't know. Perhaps the particular boat in which he was sleeping, as it turns out, only held a relatively few people, and some of the other apostles were in an accompanying boat. Maybe there were just some other boats of people who were following along, trying to go where Jesus was going. I don't know who was in the other boats. I don't know how many other boats. We don't know anything about them, except there were other boats with him. And I'm interested in that because what happened in this particular boat affected all the boats. Did you ever think about that? As Jesus calms the storm from this boat, all the boats are affected. And I might put it to you this way. What happens in your boat involving Jesus is going to affect some other folks. What happens in your church is going to affect some other folks. What happens in your business, in your life, in your family is going to affect some other folks. If Jesus is allowed to bring calm into storm, if Jesus is allowed to rebuke the winds that threaten to overwhelm, then that may have implications for other people around you. You're not alone. There may be a group of people with you who say, we're all in the same boat, but that's not the only boat there is. There are other boats. I'm continually reminding some of my friends of other denominations, hey, you know, there's an Episcopal boat going along here. It's not only a Baptist boat, not only a Presbyterian boat, not only a Roman Catholic boat. There's some Episcopalians in a boat, too, you know. And maybe what God is showing you in your boat is going to influence us in our boat, and maybe vice versa. We're all going the same way, I trust. We're all going with Jesus. There are other boats with him. And then fourthly, he was asleep. And when the disciples found themselves being absolutely overwhelmed with fear and anxiety, they say, Lord, don't you care? Teacher, don't you care if we perish? He's not asleep because he doesn't care. He's asleep because what threatens them is of no threat to him. He rules the winds and waves. He's the master of the waves that roll. He is the one who can walk and dance upon this Sea of Galilee. He's the one who can tiptoe above the waves. Jesus is not going to be threatened by the storms of life, and neither should we be. It's not that he doesn't care. It's that it's no threat. So he stands up in the midst of that rocking boat, in the midst of those swirling winds, in the midst of those threatening waves, and he says, peace! Stop it! Be quiet! And immediately there's calm. Can you see that in your mind? Can you picture that? What a wonderful scene. Here they are in the middle of the Sea of Galilee, these tremendous waves threatening to overwhelm them, and Jesus says, stop it! And there's calm. And then finally, he looks at his disciples and he asks them a question. Why are you afraid? Don't you have any faith? The way that's usually interpreted is that Jesus was saying, don't you have any faith in me? Don't you know that I could handle this? Why are you afraid? Have you no faith in me that I would stand up and do what I've just done? That's a pretty profound question. But I want to suggest to you that that's not what he was asking. And I think if you'll stick with me by the end of the week, I will have convinced you. I think that what he was asking was, haven't you learned anything today? In this whole day of my teaching about what faith is, haven't you even begun to grasp the essence of what faith is? If you had faith, you could have done what I just did. Have you no faith? Not have you no faith that I could handle it, but have you no faith that you could have handled it yourself? That's the question. That's the question we're going to be introducing this week and studying. Have you no faith? Have you begun to learn what faith really is? Not only to be able to be confident that Jesus will handle it, but to learn how to handle it yourself. May God add his blessing to this most important scripture and this study as we go through it together, because that, my friend, really is the inside story.